said the mother, it's too cold. Well, then, said George, can his football come out to play? It gets better. A young man agreed to babysit one night so a single mother could have an evening out. At bedtime, he sent the youngster upstairs to bed and settled down to watch football. One child kept creeping down the stairs, but the young man kept sending him back to bed. At 9 p.m., the doorbell rang. It was the next-door neighbor, Mrs. Brown, asking whether her son was there. The young man said, no. Just then, a little head appeared over the banister and shouted, I'm here, Mom, but he won't let me go home. See, that's a good joke. All right. Little Johnny had finished his summer vacation and gone back to school. 2 days later, his teacher phoned his mother to tell her that he was misbehaving. Wait a minute, she said. I had Johnny with me for 3 months, and I never called you once when he misbehaved. Some of you got it. Get that one, Rich? All right. A police recruit was asked during the exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He answered, call for backup. You got that one, Rex? All right. It didn't say wife, it said mother. All right. Johnny, Daddy, or Johnny speaking, Daddy, are caterpillars good to eat? Father, have I not told you never to mention such things during meals? Mother says, why did you say that, Junior? Why did you ask the question? Johnny, it's because I saw one on Daddy's lettuce, but now it's gone. You get that? Now it's gone? Daddy ate the caterpillar. Rex, I have to explain that to you. All right. Three sons left home, went on their own, and prospered. Getting back together, they discussed the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother. Their first said, I built a big house for our mother. The second said, I sent her a Mercedes with a driver. The third smiled and said, I got you both beat. You know how Mom enjoys the Bible, and you know she can't see very well. I sent her a brown parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 monks in a monastery, 12 years to teach him. I had a pledge to contribute $1 million a year for 10 years. But it was worth it. Mom just has to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it. Soon thereafter, Mom sent out her letters of thanks. Milton, she wrote, for the first son. The house you built so huge, I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Marvin, she wrote to another, I'm too old to travel. I stay home all the time, so I never use the Mercedes, and the driver is so rude. Dearest Melvin, she wrote to her third son, you are the only son to have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious. The mother says to her daughter, did you enjoy your first day at school? The daughter answers, first day? Do you mean I have to go back tomorrow? For 6 weeks, a six-year-old kept telling his first grade teacher about the baby brother or sister that was expected at his house. One day, the mother allowed the boy to feel the movement of the unborn child. The six-year-old was obviously impressed, but made no comment. Furthermore, he stopped telling his teacher about the impending event. The teacher finally sat the boy down in her lap and said, Tommy, whatever has become of that baby brother or sister you're expecting at home? Tommy burst into tears and confessed, I think Mommy ate it. A little girl and her mother were at church when the little girl starts to feel sick. Her mother tells her to go throw up in the bushes behind the church. When the little girl returns, her mother asks if she threw up. Yes, the girl says, but I don't have to go all the way to the back. In the back, there was a box in the back by the door, and I threw up in that one. It says for the sick. All right, I'll share one more. What? The newlywed wife said to her husband when she returned for work, I have great news for you. Pretty soon we're going to be three in this house instead of two. Her husband ran to her with a smile on his face and delight in his eyes. He was glowing of happiness and kissing his wife, and she said, I'm glad that you feel this way, since tomorrow my mom is going to move in. All right, I'll share. This is the last one. I'll share one more. This one you're going to like, Steve. A husband and wife has been married for 60 years and had no secrets except for one. The woman kept in her closet a shoebox that she forbade her husband from ever opening. But when she was on her deathbed, and with her blessing, he opened the box and found a crocheted doll and $95,000 in cash. My mother told me the secret to a happy marriage was never to argue, she explained. Instead, I should keep quiet and crochet a doll. Her husband was touched. Only one doll in the box. That meant she'd only been angry with him only once in 60 years. Then he asked, but what about all that money? Oh, she said, that's from the money of selling the other dolls. All right. Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua. We're going to be looking at several portions of Scripture this morning. This is a little different style of a message. We are going to be looking at several women from the Bible this morning. And as we look at each of these women in the Bible, we're going to look at some aspects, some principles, some thoughts from their lives that they were remembered for. We all do things that impress people one way or another, and they remember us for. Now, I want you to think about some of this for a moment. What are some things that you're remembered for? Now, there are certain people in this room, you're remembered for always being late. Something you're remembered for. Some of you, you're remembered for filling your plates or six plates as you go through the church line. Some of you, I'm not looking at anyone, Jamie, some of you remember for other things that sometimes you have a hard time of keeping this quiet. Oh, no. Hey, I'm talking about loudmouth right here, not you, all right? Some of us are remembered. We're all remembered for certain things. Some of us are remembered for our profession. Some are remembered for certain comments we've made. Some are remembered for other things, but we're remembered. We make an impact upon people's lives. Sometimes for the positive, sometimes for the negative. The question I ask as we look at this morning, what are you and what am I remembered for? Now, we are going to look at ladies of the Bible, women of the Bible. It doesn't mean just because you're not a lady here, this does not apply to you. Because there are some truths that we're going to look at in their lives that is applicable to each of us in this room. And it doesn't matter if we're a mother, it doesn't matter if we're a lady, it doesn't matter if we're a husband, it doesn't matter what we are, it can be applied to our lives. Joshua chapter 2, the first lady we're going to look at this morning is a lady named Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1, then we're going to read verse 10 to 13, and then verse 18 this morning. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out shipmen, two men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse 10 through verse 13. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as he had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sister, and all that have, and delivered our lives from death. And then verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee. And then Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at this lesson this morning, this message this morning, Lord, you would help us to glean the truths you want us to glean and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. We do pray if there's one that does not know your Savior today, that today be their day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As we look at Rahab, we see Rahab, the forgiven woman. Rahab, the forgiven woman. Now, as we look at this, we know Rahab was a prostitute. We know Rahab was involved in things that she should never have been involved with. But we see what took place in the life of Rahab. God got a hold of Rahab, God changed Rahab, and God used Rahab for his honor and his glory. And she was forgiven. I want us, as we think about Rahab, the forgiven woman, I want us to first see, as we looked at these verses, she was forgiven by God. Rahab was forgiven by God. This morning, I want us to understand and realize in our lives, no matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, we can go to God, and the Bible says that God will hear us and forgive us of our sins. You can be forgiven this morning. It doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter if you're involved in immorality. It doesn't matter if you're involved in gross, what we call gross sins. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. God can and God will forgive you. If God knew that you were going to be a sinner, God told each of us, and the scriptures tells us, there is no good in us. All our righteousness is filthy rags. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone this morning in this room, everyone in this world today, we are born a sinner in need of a Savior. We've had sin in our lives. Now we look at Rahab and say, oh, what a wicked sinner she was. But she was a sinner just like you and I were. But she was forgiven by God. I'm glad there's a time in my life, even though I was a young child, I didn't do great, mighty sins, as some would consider great sins, but I was still a sinner. And there was a time in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ opened my eyes and I saw my need of a Savior. And he called me and he opened me and brought me to this place, and I repented of my sins and I turned from my sin and I turned to God and I put my faith and trust in him and I called upon him. He saved me, but I was forgiven by God because Jesus' blood paid the price. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sin. And I was forgiven by God. Rahab was a forgiven woman because she was forgiven by God. She's forgiven in regards to salvation, but also we're forgiven by God even after salvation. The truth is, we still sin. But do you know you're still forgiven? Even when you sin, God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know you can be forgiven in regards to salvation, but you can be forgiven by God each and every day of our lives when we fall short and we come short and we sin against God? We can be forgiven by God. I'm glad God loved me so much that he's so long-suffering with me. Because I tell you, I do things every day that I should not do. But he forgives me, and we're forgiven by God. But not only do I want us to see we're forgiven by God, but we need to be forgiven by others. We need to be forgiven by others. You see, the forgiven woman, she was forgiven by God, but she was forgiven by others. What do you mean? Could you imagine some of the thoughts that went through some of the minds of the individuals that were going to have to put their trust in this individual? They were going to have to believe that this woman, who was a prostitute, who was a sinner, who was despised by many in that city, in that area, of not being someone you could not trust, someone you would not put, yet they trusted her, They forgave her and knew that God has changed her and God was going to use her. As we look at this morning, we need a reminder that God has forgiven us. But we also reminded we need to forgive others, even as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven us. And we need to show that forgiveness to others. We need to forgive one another. You know, as we look at this morning, there are some times that maybe our mothers hurt us. Maybe some other ladies have hurt us. Some guys have hurt us. Some individuals that we've come in contact with. Maybe a spouse has hurt us. Maybe a child has hurt us. Maybe some things have happened, but we need to show forgiveness to them. Maybe you've hurt someone else, and they need to forgive you, but we need to show forgiveness to others. You know, many times we want someone to forgive us. The Bible talks to us about an individual in Scripture that was forgiven his debt, forgiven what he owed, and it was a great amount, but then yet someone owed him something minor compared to what he owed, and he was not going to show forgiveness to that individual. He was going to deal with that individual. Do you understand? We need to understand we're forgiven by God, but we need to forgive others. No matter how hurt you've been this morning, you need to show that same forgiveness that God's shown you. You need to show to one another. But not only do we need to see this forgiveness by God, forgiveness to others, but you know where it needs to come down? This is where many struggle with. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. And I believe as we had time to develop the story of Rahab, and again, I know this is a different style than we usually preach, but as we look at this, and I want us to look at it this morning, but we need to forgive ourselves. Rahab had to forgive herself so God could use her. Because if she didn't forgive herself, she would never done what she did. She would never put the cord down. She would never have them spies. She would never done those things because that goes against who she was and what she was. But God changed her, and then she had to forgive herself. Do you know what hinders many people in this room today and hinders myself at times? We don't forgive ourselves. Now, we need to mourn over our sin, don't get me wrong. But when we confess it, we deal with it with God. We can't allow the devil to say, well, you're just useless. Help! You're just going to fall back in that same sin again. You're just going to keep doing the same thing. You might as well just quit. You might as well just give in. You might as well do that. No. God has forgiven you. You're to forgive others, but you got to forgive yourself so you can move forward for the glory of God, and God can use you, and you're not stay in a defeated state in your life, but God can pick you up and get you going again for his honor and his glory. Rahab, it's a picture of the forgiven woman. I believe she is remembered not just what she did, but what God did in her life. What are we remembered for? She was remembered for forgiveness. She was forgiven and used. God made a change, and the change was seen. She wasn't perfect, but she was headed in the right direction, and God used her. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to look at another individual. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. Just so you know, since we're not having an afternoon service, I'm going to take advantage of that this morning for one message. So if you notice, I have four messages tied into one message this morning. Exodus chapter 2. Some of you are worried now. Verse 1 through verse 4. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And she, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dyed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And her sister stood afar off to what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down, and we know the story that took place here. This is Moses' mother. I want us to think of this thought as we look at this mother here. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. Now we have to understand we're forgiven. But we also have to understand as we look at this to be remembered is sometimes what we think needs to happen isn't always what we want to happen. What do you mean? Those that have been in this room and you had a child, how easy would it for you? Now, I'm not talking as they got older. But when they were a baby, how easy would it be for you to give up that child? Now, when they get a certain age, like Brendan's age, you're ready to ship them out of the door, right? No. But you're ready, or Reagan's age, and you're ready to get them out. But as they're a baby, they're so precious. You ever notice how cute a baby is? Even if they're an ugly baby, they're cute. I mean, come on. When the dribbles come down out of their mouths and the snot out of their nose, we look and we ooh and we goo and go, oh, so precious. And we get so tickled every time we see it. And then we, now, as some of you are older, you still get that way when it's someone else's and you're glad they take them with them and you don't have to take them anymore. But some of us, I'll be honest, every time I see a little baby, I wish we could have just one more. Because they're so precious. And they're so cute. As long as they don't look like Rex. And they're so cute and precious. But it'd be a hard thing. It'd be a hard thing to do this for your child. But I want us to think this thought. Sometimes we got to do the hard things in life. What does she have to do? First, it says she hid her child. What does it mean? She protected her child. We need to protect our young people. We need to protect this next generation. We need to understand this idea there are those that are going to come against our children, our youth of the day. Now, I understand this is talking about a mother, but it can be applied in many different ways. I want you to understand this morning, as we look at this, there is a world that's coming against this next generation. There are those that are coming, and they want to see our young people. They want to see this next generation torn down and done away with. They don't want to see believers in this next generation. They don't want to see a young generation on fire for God. They don't want to see those things take place. It is being done through our television programs. It's done through other sources of entertainment. It's done through anywhere you turn, the media, everywhere you go, it's being done. It's done in our doctor's offices. It's done here. It's done there. Everything is going against God. We got to protect our children. There's a time coming we got to hide and protect. What does it mean to protect? It carries us the idea of raising our children and their nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to teach. We need to nourish. We need to train. What does protect mean? Well, when a baby is first born, what do with a baby? Very few times do you let the baby out of your sight because something can happen in a split second. Some of you maybe had that happen before. You had a young child and you just turned for 2 seconds and they got a piece of hard candy in them and you had to do some movements to get that candy out and you're like, where did they even get that piece of candy? There's some things that have happened to young people. There's some that have passed away, young people, in a split second. There's something called SIDS that takes place. And you don't know what even takes place. You lay the baby down. Baby's healthy. Everything's good. And then within seconds, the baby isn't breathing anymore. The baby's passed on. How does that happen? It takes place in a second. And you want to protect. That's why a lot of people, when they first put the baby in something, they put the baby right next to the bed. And they have one hand in the bed and one eye open the whole time they're sleeping. And they're trying to protect. They're trying to make sure that child is okay. That child is taken care of. And I believe believe Moses' mother wanted to take care of her child. And she thanked God for being entrusted with that child. And she knew she had to take care of him. I'm glad God has entrusted us with this next generation, not just our own children, but this next generation. God has entrusted us, and we need to nurture and bring up this next generation. Those that are older, gray-headed, the Bible says, is to teach this next generation the truths of the Word of God. And we need to nourish them. We need to teach them. But not only does she hide them, I want you to see something else. As she's remembered for doing something hard, she hid him. She protected him. As you look at this, God gave her that son who was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes. And she put him in this basket. And she put the slime and she protected it from the water, weatherproofed it, if you will, and put it in. And I want you to see this thought. She gave her baby back to the Lord. What a thought. She protected it. She nourished them. She did what a mother is supposed to do, and this is what we're supposed to do in the next generation. But then she came to the point. She put the baby in the basket. She did all she could, but she said, Lord, I'm giving him to you. That's hard sometimes. I want us to see this. I believe this is very hard sometimes in our lives. Implying to this world and to young people in this generation, we need to nourish them, we need to teach them, but we need to ultimately turn them back to God and give them to God. I wish we could make everyone drink of the water. Not the Kool-Aid, the water. I wish we could do everything and twist our arms to get this next generation to live the way that they're supposed to live. I wish we could get everyone to do this, and I wish we could somehow protect them and do it the rest of their lives and never allow them out of the house. How many wish you could have kept your kid in a bubble their whole life and never let them out and never let them see the world, they'll never see, and just keep them in and lock them in the house with you and never anything. But that doesn't, it's not works. And what do we have to do sometimes as a parent? We have to teach them, and as a mother, we have to teach them, nourish them. But we have to turn to God and say, God, thank you for entrusting me. I'm teaching you, but Lord, my child is yours. And I want you to use, now that's hard. It's hard to do that. It's hard to say, okay, there you are. Boom, given. But I want you to see this. She hid him. She gave him to the Lord. And she trusted the Lord knew best. You see, as you look at this, she trusted the Lord knew best. She gave him to the Lord, but she said, Lord, you know better than me. I believe in her mind, it would have been better for her to raise that child the whole life. It would have been better for her to be able to take care of that child and not have to go against what was happening in that day and the murdering of the children and all that was given there. And it would have been easier for her in her mind to say, let me just raise my child. But God knew what's best because of what happened. She did raise that child. She did raise that child. Now we understand Pharaoh's daughter found her, and then we understand that she went to get someone to take care of this child. And who was that? It was Moses' mother. You see, God's ways are always the best ways. I want us to be reminded this morning as we look at the mother of Moses. God's ways are always the best ways. Do you understand? And I need to understand in my life that we have it mapped out how everything should work. We have in our minds how everything should come to place, how everything should be done. But we need to turn it over to God and say, God, you're in control. And God, your way is the best way. We look back and we see some things that have happened throughout this generation without this world. In my mind, I sometimes wonder, Lord, why is this happening? Why is certain things taking place in our world today? Why is this happening to this generation? Why are our young people who have to go through some of this stuff? Why are some of the things we're going through? And we say, Lord, I'm giving to you because you know what's best. Do you know sometimes we have to hit some hard times in our life to wake us up? We have to go through things so God can use us in the way he wants to use us for his honor, his glory. God had a bigger, better plan. Because guess what happened? She no longer had to hide her child. Her child could be out in the open, but she still could raise her child. Wow. God knows what's best. I want you to turn. I told you we're going to turn a lot. I told you I'm preaching four messages in one. Judges chapter 4. We're going to look at another mother. Another woman in the Bible. As we look at Judges chapter 4, we look at this individual named Deborah. And Deborah was one of courage. One of courage. We see the forgiven. We see the one who's willing to step out. But we see the one who's willing to have courage. Judges chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of the host who was Caesarea, which dwelt in Horshath of Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Laboth, she judged Israel at that time. And then verse 6 and verse 7, and she went and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of the Kedesh Naphtoth, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtoth, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will dwell unto thee to the river Kishon Caesarea, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, verse 8 and verse 9, and Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thy honor. For the Lord shall sell Caesarea into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now I want you to see some thoughts here of courage. First, we need to step up. We need ladies today to step up. We need men today to step up. Lewis means with courage. You see, there was a day, this time period was a time when men did what evil in the sight of the Lord. Did you next word? Again. There was a time coming that they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And there was should have been those that stood up. We understand the book of Judges. God used the judges, and it's not a judge that we know today, but God used a judge, a deliverer. He used one to come in and deal with it, deal with the people, to bring the people out of captivity and bring the people to where they need to be. God used them to get right with God, and God used them to deliver them. Now, we understand in this time period and in our world today, God wants men to be spiritual leaders. Men ought to be the spiritual leader in the home. Men ought to be the ones that stand up and the ones that set the example and lead and rule in that way. But I'm glad there are godly ladies that when the men aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they will stand up and arise and go. We see she stepped up. She stepped up to that place and had courage to be able to say, all right, I'm going to step up and I'm going to fulfill that role that God has called to be a judge and deliverer in this time period. There is too much evil going around. It's time that someone stops this and you let God use them. Not only did she step up, but I want us to think about this. She stepped out. She stepped up, but she stepped out. She went and she went to another individual and said, this is what needs to be done. She went to another individual. She was willing to step up, but she goes, you need to be doing this. You need to come alongside. You need to be help. You need to step up. You know what we need today? We need, individuals. And we can apply it several ways, but we need ladies that will encourage others to do right. Do you know, women, ladies, you need to encourage your husbands to do right. And I tell you, yes, the husband's supposed to be a spiritual leader, but they need the encouragement. They need the individuals to say, hey, you know what? You're not being the husband you ought to be in a nice way, right? We want it with love, all, everything in love. You're not doing it, but I want you to understand, you need to set the example. You need to have the devotions in the home. You need to do this as the husband. I'm going to step up. I'm going to start doing it, but you need to be doing this. You need to set the example. You need to be the godly influence. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it, but I want to encourage you to start living for God. You need to be the faithful one. I don't need to be the faithful one, but if you're not going to be faithful as a lady, I'm going to be faithful. But please, husband, please, men of the church, understand this in a nice way. I'm glad we have godly ladies. I'm glad we have faithful ladies, but they need to encourage the men of this church, the men in their homes that live for God. And if they're not living for God, give them a little push to start living for God. Because it needs to happen. I'm glad there's ladies that step up. I'm glad Deborah stepped up. But Deborah stepped out. And she says, you need to start living for God too. You need to fulfill what God wants you to do. And we need to encourage one another. Each of us needs to encourage one another to live for God. No matter if you're a man, a lady, a boy, a girl, we need to encourage one another to live for God. Do you know when you see someone not living right, you don't need to point out how wicked and terrible they are, but you need to encourage them and say, hey, you know, what's going on? You used to be faithful in church, you're not faithful anymore. Why aren't you faithful anymore? You used to teach, you used to preach, you used to be a deacon, you used to do this, you used to do that, but why aren't you faithful anymore? You used to teach this at home, Mom. You used to teach this at home, Dad. You used to say this, and you used to live this, you used to do this, but why aren't you doing this anymore? You used to make sure this was done and that was done, and we were living the godly life and this and that, but why isn't that being done anymore? We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage the church members and say, hey, why aren't you faithful? Why aren't you doing this? We need to encourage one another. We see that she stepped out. She stepped out. But we also see she stepped through. She stepped through. What do you mean? She didn't just talk it. She did it. He said this. Barak said what? If you go with me, then I'll go. If you come alongside me, if you come in and do this, all right, she confronted him. She pushed him, if you will, to live what he's supposed to do. And then he said this, if you go with me, then I'll go and do it. And what did she do? She went with him. She went through it. Do you know we need not just to speak it, we need to live it and do it. Sometimes you know what we need? We need not someone just tell us what to do. We need someone to go alongside us and help us and take our hands and help us through it. Because let me tell you, this Christian life is not for the sissy. This Christian life is hard. I tell you, there's some times that the pressures of this life, the wickedness of this world, the things that come alongside us are very hard. And it's very easy for us to not have the courage to finish what God has called us to do. It's very easy for us to say, it's just hard. It's easier not to do it. It's easier just to sit back. And sometimes we just need some help. We need some encouragement, not just someone say, all right, get right with God, live for God, but someone come alongside, guess what? I'm going to help you live for God. I'm going to take you, and I'm not going to let you by yourself. Come on, Barak. I'm going to help you. And we're together, going to work together. We're going to work together for the cause of Christ, and we're going to work together. Now, sometimes when you work together and you're chained together, one starts to slack a little bit, and the other one's there to help pull that person That's my weak arm, by the way.
It's because I won't.
Now the idea is this. We got to understand, we got to step up, we got to step out, and we got to step through. We got to come and we got to help one another, and we got to continue living it and doing it and helping one another to live it. We need wives to hook arms with their husbands and say, we're going to do this together. Yes, husband, you're not always doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to encourage you to do it. But I'm not going to just tell you to do it. I want to do it with you. We're going to do this together. We hook arms together with our spouse. That means we're on the same page. That means we have the same mindset that we want to raise our families and our children in the same way. Our homes are going to pot this morning. I want you to understand this. Our generation is falling apart this morning. Because we don't have men and women in the home working together for the cause of Christ, raising their families the way they ought to be raising their families. It could be the husband, the strong one. It could be the wife, the strong one, vice versa. But it is not the co-equal. It's not working together, a unified unit working together. And Deborah said, you need to do this. Barak said, I'll do it. You come alongside me. She came alongside and she went through it and she worked. And they did it. They worked together. How does that happen in a home? That means husband and wife need that time together. They pray together. And they sit through and they talk about things. And they look through the things and they said, okay, we aren't doing what we should be doing. Why aren't we doing it? How can we change this? How can we start living for God the way we ought to be living for God? How can we start doing this in our homes? What do we need to do? Let's find avenues to help one another, encourage one another. You know what needs to happen in our churches today? We need to say, we need to be unified as a church unit. And there's some body parts of the church that aren't functioning the way they ought to be functioning. And we come alongside them, not just say, hey, get right with God. But here, you need to get right with God. But I'm here to help you and get you through it. And I'm going to work through it. I also want us to turn. Some of you thought I was joking. I want you to turn to Book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. In verse 16. And Ruth said, I entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, we don't have time to develop the whole story of Ruth. And we understand, even later on, the kinsman redeemer and all that's been involved there. But I want you to see, as we see Ruth, we see a faithful individual. She was faithful in which she did not forsake her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law even told her, you go. Don't come with me. And she didn't forsake. She did not forsake her mother-in-law. We have to understand this morning, we need not to forsake one another. And we understand that there's times that individuals don't always do what they should be doing. But we need not to turn our backs upon them. We're to be there, for them, to help them, to be faithful. Don't forsake one another. But also, did she not forsake her mother-in-law? She was faithful in not forsaking her God. She came to the point that she found God. We understand what took place and what happened, and God did a work in her life, and she came to that place, and she did not forsake God. She says, no, that your God's going to become my God, and your people are going to become my people. And she says, I'm going to be a part of you. I'm not forsaking who God is, and not forsaking what God has done in my life. Do you know this morning we need to be faithful, not forsaking one another? But we need to make sure we're not forsaking God this morning. We need to make sure we're not forsaking Him and turning our back against God that saved you. Do you realize what God has done this morning? If you're saved this morning, if there's been that time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is your God and He has saved you. Don't forsake Him. Don't turn against the God that shed His blood for you and died for you and saved your soul. Don't forsake Him. morning as we think about this as ladies and mothers and women in the Bible that are remembered, she is remembered as one that was faithful. She did not forsake, but she didn't quit. She didn't quit. She didn't forsake others. She didn't forsake God, and she did not quit. You know, many times when the things get hot, we want to quit. When the kitchen gets hot, we get out of the kitchen, right? When things get tough, we want to quit. We want to just say, I can't do this anymore. We know what took place. We know what happened. We know even when she went back and she gleaned in the fields and all that happened and all that took place. Again, we don't have time to develop the whole story of Ruth. And all that happened there. But she didn't quit. And what did God do? Blessing came upon her life because she was faithful. I don't do things to get things. None of us should. But when we're faithful, God will bless according to his perfect will for your life. She was faithful, and God rewarded the faithfulness. You see, this idea in our lives, it's not always easy being a mother. It's not always easy being a lady. I'm glad I'm not a lady. I don't have any desire to be a lady. All right? And there's something wrong with people, really wrong with people that want that. Now, I can see why you want to be a guy, but not a lady. All right. Just kidding. You can laugh a little bit. All right? But the idea is this. Did I miss something, Rich? But this is the idea. It's not always easy. It's hard sometimes. As a mother, as a wife, you have to put up with the kids. You have to put up with your husband. And sometimes, I'll be honest, if I was marrying me, I'd want to quit a long time ago sometimes. Can I be honest? I'm probably not the most easy person to always get along with, all right? Can you believe I have a little stubbornness in me at sometimes? Can you believe that I have some quirks in my life a little bit? Just a few, Jerry. Not as many as you. And I have some, you know, and it'd be easy for individuals that want to quit when things get hard, but don't quit. Ruth didn't quit, and God bless, she was faithful. Do you know in the Christian life, not just the mother, anyone in this room, there's times it gets hard. There's times that some of us just want to say, white flag it, I surrender, I quit, I'm done. Pressures get hard, and you just want to quit and give up, but don't quit. Ruth had faithfulness. She didn't forsake God. She didn't forsake others, and she didn't quit. I want to look at one more to carry this idea out, and we'll finish with one more. Turn to 2 Timothy. And this to tie this all together. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And then we'll look at chapter 3, verse 15. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. And then I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want to end with this thought as we look at ladies in the Bible, is that thought of be thou an example. Be thou an example. Here we have this recorded about Timothy the preacher, but about those that influenced his life and was example. Be thou example, we first and foremost need to live it. If you're going to be the example, if I'm going to be the example that I ought to be, we have to live it in our lives. When I call to remembrance the unfaithful faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He says, you saw the example in mom and grandma living it. Be thou example. They lived it. The faith that was seen in young Timothy was a result of the example he saw in his grandmother and his mother. Do you know as a mother you're to be example to your children? I want you to think about that for a moment. You need to live it. Do you know our kids know how to respond to their spouse when they get older? How they see you respond to your spouse? If they see you yell at your spouse, what are they going to probably do when they get older? If they see you demean your husband, what are they going to do? If they see you treat your wife as a doormat, what are they going to do? You see, what was noticed in Timothy's life was this pure faith, because that pure faith was demonstrated by mom and grandma. We got to live it. Are you living in your life? Am I living in my life? We go day in and day out, and I think many times we don't give any thought about how we're living and the example we're setting. How many know that kids are imitators of you? Now, you say, what do you mean? How many of you said that I would never, ever do what my dad did or say the phrases my dad said or mom said? I would never do those things. I would never respond the way when I have kids. Caitlin, you ever said this? When I have kids, I'm never going to do this the way my mom did it or my dad did it. Anyone ever say that? All right? How many, when you got older, you stopped yourself dead in your tracks because you heard your dad or mom talking, but they weren't talking, it was you talking? You go, what did I just say? I just said what my mom said all the time. I just said, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I just acted that way. That's how they used to act. I would never act that way. We're imitators. Live it. Live the Christian life. Set the example. Not only did they live it, but it says he was taught since he was a child. Secondly, you need to teach it. You need to live it. You need to set the example. But you need to teach it. It says, from a young child, he was taught. He was taught it. We need to teach our young people. We need to teach this generation. We need to teach individuals the truths of the Word of God. It needs to be taught. It's being squashed today. We're watering it down today. We don't want to speak the truth. Now understand, we need to speak the truth. We need to speak in love, but we still need to speak the truth, all right? We still need to teach the truth. We still need to hit it. Sin is still sin. No matter how you look at it, holiness is still holiness. Pureness is still pureness. It has not changed. And we need to teach it. We need to teach this generation. We need to teach our young people that God is still God. He is still on the throne. He is still in control. And he is still holy. And we have to live holy. Are we teaching this generation the things of God? Oh, they know sports. They know how to get a deal at the mall. or at the thrift store. They know how to cook. They know how to do yard work. And I'm not saying any of that's bad. But have you taught them the things of God? What do you mean by teaching them things of God? Where you help cultivate, develop their heart to love God. You can't make them love God, but you cultivate and you create an environment to teach them that they hear and want the things of God. Not only do they live it, not only do they teach it, but they finished it. They didn't just start it and say, well, he's got it, let him go. How many know how little birds learn to fly? It gets to a place, if you ever watched this, the birds are in their nest, and the mama bird picks up the baby bird, throws them on the nest, and says, fly, you're on your own. And how many seen some birds fly and some hit the ground? All right? Because they weren't ready to fly. This is the idea. We got to keep teaching and can't quit. They continued to teach Timothy. And they didn't stop teaching. And they didn't stop living it. Do you know many of us start strong sometimes of teaching and living it? But then we quit. We get to a place that we stop and we don't finish it. We start in faith, but we end in failure. Do you know I can't teach, you can't teach maybe the same way that you did when your kids were little two-year-olds. Maybe your kid's 40 years old now, 50 years old, 60 years old. And you're not going to teach them the same way that you taught them when they were in your home. You can't do it. But you know you still can teach them today. You can still live it today. You can still set the example. You can still show it. You can still do it. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit. Well, I taught them and I told them and they know what the truth is and they haven't heeded. They're never going to heed to the truth. They're never going to listen to the truth. Don't quit. Don't give in. Keep being faithful and finish what God has called you to do. And teach it and live it and see it through. Finish it in your life. And we're not done till we leave this world and we're in the glories. As long as you have breath, we'd be living it, teaching it, and doing it. You see, there are several we looked at that give a remembrance. We're reminded and we remember them for certain things in their lives. What are you reminded for? But the bottom line is this. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a lady, as a husband, as a dad, as a son, as a daughter, we have a responsibility to live a way that pleases God. And that is understanding we're forgiven. That is understanding we need to have courage. That is understanding we need to be faithful. And that's understanding that we